So, Mark, we were talking about, we were just discussing favorite Super Bowl foods. What's your go-to Super Bowl foods or snacks?
I would just say in general, a heavy mayonnaise-based dip.
Mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise I can get my hands on, basically, I think feels good to me. I also, anything... And this is probably not original with the calls that you guys have been getting, but heavy-based cheese as well. Very good.
I got to concur about that.
So I guess Super Bowl, start right off the bat. Atlanta and the Patriots, what things stick out to you most as important factors for either team to come out with the win this Sunday?
Well, I think that, you know, one of the things that I was looking at today in terms of what Atlanta can do offensively, I think that's the whole key to this Super Bowl, that if Atlanta is what it has been throughout this entire season offensively, they will win the Super Bowl. Now, we all know that Bill Belichick has always had a way of being very good at eliminating opposing teams' top offensive weapon. In this case, it would be Julio Jones. But, I mean, let's face it, Julio Jones was doubled and tripled all season long, and the guy averaged 17 yards per catch, which is just absolutely amazing. So I think this game, really, if you want to simplify it, and there's tons of angles we can go to, but for me, it's can Atlanta, can they do what they've done all year offensively? And if they do, they will win the Super Bowl this year.
Afternoon, Mark. It's Jason. So you were talking about Belichick's ability, at least defensively, to take away what the opposing team does best. How about on the offensive end? We know that he kind of employs this amoeba sort of game plan style where he can either run you to death or throw the ball 40 to 50 times a game. Which plan do you see him employing on that offensive end?
That's a great plan, and I have to be honest with you, and you kind of indicated it. I mean, Bill Belichick is totally and completely unpredictable when it comes to his game plan. I mean, I would say, I mean, just on the surface, just to answer your question directly, that I would think that it's going to be Tom Brady doing his Tom Brady thing. But, I mean, I also would not eliminate the possibility of LeGarrette Blount being part of it, too. And if I would imagine they'll try that, and if they have success in that regard, running the ball, they're going to stick with it like a lot of teams would do. But let's face it, the Atlanta defense, while not bad, has not been great this year. I think they were 27th in points allowed this season. They're starting, and here's another huge part, Atlanta's starting three rookies, and it's a young defense in general, and that's just got to have Bill Belichick licking his chops. I mean, he's not going to admit something like that, but he's probably going to try to exploit those rookies and their weaknesses as much as possible.
All right, we're going to switch over to the Cubs because you're so well-informed about them. So, excuse me, Grandpa Rossi's new...
A
little bit, I would hope, Mark. I would hope. Or we're doing something wrong. So, Grandpa Ross's new position with the Cubs front office, yay or nay?
Well, I think it's good. I think it's good that he's part of the organization, and I don't think he's going to really be... How can I put this? He's not going to really be doing much in that job. It's more... The title is more of a way to have a good vibe, continuing to be around that clubhouse as much as possible. I mean, he even put it, Ross did, as that he's going to be more or less an intern and learning the ways of the front office. But I think his job is going to be to show up every once in a while and get in that clubhouse and say hi to the guys, the spirits if they are needed, and just be all David Ross. I think that's what, let's be honest here. I mean, he's not coming to perform some major front office duty with the Cubs. So it's really David Ross being David Ross is all it is.
It'll be nice to see him on ESPN too.
Yeah, he's going to be doing that. I mean, it's pretty amazing that you have a guy here in David Ross who was ready to kind of cut it off and really just go away for like a year. But it sounds like he's just gotten too many tantalizing offers, and you got to strike while the iron's hot. I mean, David Ross is never going to be more popular and never be more wanted than he is right now. I mean, he became a national darling throughout this season because he was the go-to guy in the clubhouse locally, and then it's even on a higher level nationally. So it'll be interesting to see how good he is in that regard, and then what's in the future for him if he's going to become a manager. That's going to be interesting to see.
He's a great personality. We're talking to Mark Grody from 670 The Score right now on Second City Sports here on Chicagoland. Sportsradio.com. Let's shift focus to the awful Bulls squad. I mean, they come off a win yesterday but to start off the road trip on a positive note, but what do you think of the notions of trading Jimmy Butler at this point, just to kick the tires on that and kind of resetting here this franchise?
You know, it's a great question. I don't think that any kind of trade with Jimmy Butler is going to occur during this season. I think it's that it is to occur. It's going to go down during the off season. I think that you better be really careful if you're going to trade Jimmy Butler, that you do not trade Jimmy Butler for the sake of trading Jimmy Butler. If you are going to trade Jimmy Butler, make sure that you get something extremely substantial back. But let's face it, this is a top 15 player in the National Basketball Association. And if there are things off of the court that bug Bulls management about Jimmy Butler, well, I'm afraid they're going to have to deal with that. It's sort of opportunity cost. So I'm nervous about the prospects of the Bulls trading somebody like Butler, because I don't know if I trust them to get the right pieces back in place for Butler. But I don't know. I mean, you know, with the Bulls being at exactly 500 right now and kind of sort of where most people predict them to be at 500, they're the 7th seed right now in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, that middling NBA team, do you want that year after year, or do you want to break it down and maybe build up something special, which is particularly risky, I think, in the NBA to do the whole breakdown thing.
That's why I tell these guys all the time that they want a complete rebuild. Now let's go to the Bears, where they're kind of in progress of being rebuilt. They have the number 3 pick. Some people are saying that maybe they should trade it, maybe trade it back. Maybe they should try to get a Garoppolo. Do they go defense? Do they go with a quarterback? What do you think?
I have a feeling that at the number 3 pick in the draft, the Bears will go defense. You know, the mock drafts right now, a lot of them have Jonathan Allen, the defensive end from Alabama, going to the Bears. But I think that the talent is stacked heavily in terms of defense. So I think that that's the right pick. I think it's a safe pick. And I know nobody likes to hear things like safe pick, but the Bears cannot afford to mess up this pick. They have to get a sure thing so they can't get cute and make some sort of, you know, Shea McClellan type of risk in what they're trying to do this year after a 3-13 season and in a regime which has not been winning in 2 years now.
I want to go back to the Bulls just for a second. We saw the controversy break open with Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade criticizing the team, and then Rondo defending what he called defending the young guys on social media. What was your take on that entire situation?
Honestly, my first impression was, and I'll stick with it, is that you have 3 guys that care, and I like that. I like that. And maybe it wasn't cool the way they went about it, that Jim Butler and Dwayne Wade conspired to call out individuals and teammates. But I like it when guys care about winning, especially guys like Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo, who are all at the top of the financial scale at this point. And for them, it is purely about winning and competing on a nightly basis. And I don't know why, if you are a Bulls fan or a Bulls observer, that you wouldn't want guys that care about what's going on. I guess the other angle, too, from our perspective, the whole thing's been entertaining. There's no doubt about it. And I'm not around the Bulls every day, so I don't know what exactly protocol is in terms of what Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler did. But to me, honestly, I feel like that there's more good than bad that comes out of something like this, instead of there being, you know, this holding it off and you know backstabbing and reports. Instead, it came all out. We know exactly what's going on.
Mark, let's switch back to the Cubs, especially on this 3-month anniversary of them winning the championship. So, you know, the pitchers and catchers reporting in a couple of weeks. We know it's still very early, but we know in some order it's going to be, you know, Lester, Hendricks, and Arrieta in that rotation. But as far as the back end of that rotation and the pitching depth of the Cubs, how do you see that sort of shaping out?
Well, I think that right now, and this could very well change, that they want to see what Mike Montgomery can do, who, of course, was so effective and so trusted for the Cubs right down to the final out of the World Series this year. So I think that he's going to get a crack at it. I think that they're still probably looking to create more competition for that fifth spot. Fourth spot, of course, going to go to John Lack. But it's going to be interesting to see who they bring. I mean, as much problems and criticism as Jason Hamill would take last year, for a fifth starter, even a fourth starter, I'd use the word great, because in Major League Baseball, you're talking about the fifth man in your rotation. It is difficult to find quality. In regards to that, Jason Hamill was great. They are looking to fill that spot, and right now it's kind of a mystery, but it looks like Mike Montgomery's going to get the first shot at it.
So still sticking with the Cubs, which spring season game are you looking forward to?
Which actual preseason game?
Yeah, the actual preseason. I don't know why I said spring season. The actual preseason game are you looking forward to see? Because you're going to see these players first off before it even counts, more or less. Looking to see the Cleveland again?
The Cleveland one, it'll be really interesting to see that in particular, because they'll play each other plenty. They're very close to each other. And, I'm sure that it won't be the same sort of vibe, obviously, as the World Series. But, yeah, that'll be fun to see. I also think that it's always fun when the Cubs and White Sox get together. And in particular, this year, in spring training, because the White Sox are, let's face it, they are attempting to do something similar to what the Cubs did. They are doing a transparent tear-down rebuild of their team, and I imagine a lot of the angles going on, whether it be in Mesa or Camelback Ranch in Glendale where the White Sox work out, a lot of the angles are going to be, asking White Sox people and players, do you guys see yourself as being like the Cubs, and asking the Cubs, what do you think of the White Sox, kind of doing what you guys are trying to do. So that'll actually be a interesting story on probably a friendlier level than it normally is.
All right, Mark, the most important question of the show here. What color will Lady Gaga's hair be when she comes on stage for the halftime show? Is it blonde or any other color? You taking the field?
I can't believe you guys waited until this long to talk about Gaga. It's an outrage.
The nerve.
Wow, to predict, you know what? That is a dangerous thing to try to predict anything Lady Gaga would do, because isn't that the essence of Lady Gaga, that she's unpredictable? I'm taking the field.
Attaboy. We appreciate that.
Also, who you got for the Super Bowl? Sorry to throw that at the end, though, Mark.
No, that's all right. That's all right. I'm actually picking Atlanta. I think the Atlanta offense is going to come to play. I think that there's a new sheriff down at the Atlanta Falcons.
Love it.
There you go.
Good choice.
Listen to him on 670 The Score, doing updates, and all you can listen to him in a few weeks doing Cubs pre and post. He does a great job on both, as always. You can also see him on CSN Chicago occasionally on Sports Talk Live with David Kaplan, the gang. At Mark Groey Sports on Twitter. Mark, thank you so much again. We'll definitely have you on, and we love you.
Thanks, Mark.
Bye.
Guys, have a great day, and thank you for having me on.
Thanks, Mark.